Cool.
And go time.
Okay. 3, 2.
Okay. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Split Decision Podcast, episode 1. I am your host, Roman Garcia, with my co-host and very good friend, PJ Katona. PJ, why are we here? What are we doing here?
Why are we here? Well, man, we've talked about doing this for a while now, at least a year or two. And
very long time.
Shout out to IUSTV and Andrew Briggs and Jackson Lindner for making this possible, because I don't know if we would ever got this started without
would
them,
not
to
be
honest.
Possible without them.
We've definitely talked about it for a while, but yeah, it's finally good to get this on the road.
Nice to be talking.
Yeah.
Nice to
talk. But a little background about ourselves. My name is PJ Katona, and I am a junior here at Indiana University, and I'm currently majoring in sports media with a specialization in journalism.
Roman. I am Roman Garcia, another junior from Indiana University, majoring in journalism with a concentration in public relations. And we are big-time combat sports fans, if you couldn't tell. How we kind of got into the sport, excuse me, my background kind of lies more in boxing when I was younger. Big-time boxing family, you know, the Manny Pacquiao's, the Juan Manuel Marquez, the Miguel Cotto's of the world. That's what really got me into fighting itself. And when I was younger, I'm not going to lie, MMA kind of looked gross, kind of looked ugly. It was just men throwing stuff at each other for the sake of causing chaos. But the one and only Notorious Conor McGregor changed my perspective in 2015 with his beautiful KO of Eddie Alvarez. And PJ, I hear similar things from your side.
Yeah, I don't want to sound original, but without the Notorious himself, I can't say I would have ever really gotten into the sport, because like you said, when I was younger, I mean, I never ever really thought UFC or MMA or even boxing was enticing, even to the littlest. But yeah, I mean, watching him versus Khabib and Khabib versus Conor and the rivalry that brought in the attention and the exposure that brought to the sport really really made me realize, like, this is actually it's pretty sick, not going to lie.
Great sport.
Yeah, so I want to talk about the goals of the podcast now.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the goals of the podcast, what we're looking to accomplish on this podcast. We're going to have your predictions, your reviews, your matchmaking, you know, all things MMA boxing, pretty much. And we're also looking to start an Instagram, TikTok, possibly a Twitter.
Possibly.
And through those platforms, you'll be able to, we're going to do some Q&As, take some polls, post some short vids, report some news and some live reactions, you know, the whole shebang. And you can follow us on Instagram at the Split Decision Pod, as well as my Instagram _Roman.Garcia_ and PJ.
I believe, now that I think about it, _PJ Katona_ on Instagram, that is. I think Twitter, PJ _Katona.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm on Twitter, I'm a Roman.
If you look at my name, you'll find it.
You'll find us. We're big time, guys. Come on now.
I agree.
But all that being said, we will get into our first topic, which lies with UFC 279, the topic that seems to not be going away, and just all the controversy surrounding it. One of the most controversial events in recent memory. Paul, you want to give us a quick rundown on the Thursday, what occurred Thursday and Friday before that?
Was that 2 weeks ago or was it 3?
I want to say... I want to say 2. I believe the fight was September 10th.
September 10th, yeah. So yes. About 2 weeks ago. Yeah, so we were supposed to have Khamzat the Wolf Chimaev against the OG Nate Diaz in the main event. Supposed to be Kevin Holland versus... supposed to be Tony Ferguson versus the Leech in the co-main event. And Kevin Holland was supposed to fight Daniel Rodriguez at a catchweight. And then Thursday happened, the press conference, which I was looking forward to and thought it was going to be one of the more iconic and memorable press conferences of all time.
Big personalities.
Yeah, as I mean, four probably. I mean, you got Khamzat, who is on the rise. I mean, everyone knows who this guy is now. Nate Diaz. I mean, who doesn't? Yeah. Who doesn't have a, like?
Probably in absence of Conor McGregor, I would say the biggest star in the game.
I agree. I agree. And Tony El Kukui Ferguson. Everybody, I feel like you can't possibly be an MMA fan and not at least have a little bit that likes Tony Ferguson.
Everyone got a soft spot for for Tony.
I agree. And then Kevin Holland, Big Mouth, the known for notoriously speaking in the cage to his opponents as he fights.
He went on record on calling himself the most annoying fighter in the UFC.
Yeah, he posted that the other day. Hey, he owns up to it.
He talks a lot.
From a fan perspective, I think it's quite entertaining, if you ask me.
I don't mind it whatsoever.
I'm not sure I'd like somebody talking to me like as a joke while I'm trying to, you know, pound their face in the cage. But, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, then Thursday happened, and there was a little scuffle between Khamzat and his team, Holland, and I don't know if it was Holland and his team, but Holland, and Nate Diaz. And I don't know if Tony was involved. I don't think he was, but he might have been.
I think I saw it was something. He posted, like, some video saying that he saw them arguing and that nobody knew not to F with him, I believe.
That's right. I do remember that. Yeah. So,
classic El Kukui.
So that happened, and then Dana White, as I was watching live, Dana White went up to the presser and announced that the press conference for everyone's safety is going to be canceled, sadly, which left us with a new card on Saturday. The main event being Nate Diaz versus Tony Ferguson, which is a fight that, I mean, I know we've been wanting, but everybody, anyone that's an MMA UFC fan has been wanting for a long, long time.
Yes, absolutely.
Then it left us with Khamzat Chimaev versus Kevin Holland in the co-main event. As we know, Khamzat weighed about, what, 7.5, 8.5 pounds?
He weighed in 7.5 pounds over. Yeah, I think he was 178.5. He had to just make 171.
So they rearranged that. And then they gave the leech, Daniel Rodriguez, who had to weigh at least 10 pounds. Well, weighed in 15 pounds heavier, but I'm sure like by the time the fight started, still a good 10, 15, who knows how many pounds heavier. Yeah, and I still think it was a very entertaining card. I think you can argue that the fights were more evened out now.
Absolutely.
Nate Diaz being around, I think, the biggest underdog in terms of the betting lines ever for his career. Khamzat was almost, I think, minus 1,000. And the I want to say the only notable fight, in my opinion, on the prelims was Chris Barnett. He actually broke the record. the heaviest fighter ever at weigh-ins. He was hurt during the fight bad. I don't know.
I caught the fight. I knew he was hurt bad. He was hurt bad.
No, real bad. I thought he was done. I don't think his right eye was open by the time the fight ended. And he just kept...
But Beast Boy found a way to win. And that's all that matters in the sport.
That's what winners do.
That's what winners do. Hit the signature celebration. Don't know how he does that every single time without breaking his back.
Unreal.
But nonetheless, a victory for Beast Boy. Getting back to the co-main and main event, though, there's a part of me that wants to believe in the conspiracy behind this whole thing. I know Dana has come out and said anybody who's believe in this conspiracy is crazy and whatnot, but it's almost the stars aligned almost too well for it to work out as well as it did. You had six fighters who all had to agree within hours to fight a new opponent. You know how hard it is to get six fighters to agree to a fight in general? They take months to get fights made, and they did this in one night.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know.
And you just so happen to add this catchweight fight between Daniel Rodriguez and Kevin Holland a couple weeks beforehand. I know Daniel Rodriguez said he couldn't make weight, but if you're not going to make weight, why not just make it a 185-pound fight, you know? Why have to spare yourself the 5 pounds? I'm sure Daniel Rodriguez walks around what? Can't be less than 195, 200.
Yeah.
It's a big boy right there. Kevin Holland, same thing. So why not just fight at 185? And Khamzat says the doctor stopped him from weighing in. How much do I believe that?
It makes sense. I mean,
but in what other scenario have we heard that before?
No, I agree. I mean, he's a big dude. So, like, I mean, it makes sense, though. I mean, cutting down to 170, I mean, he's... They say he's big for middleweight, let alone at welterweight. I mean, physically he is, but much bigger than almost everybody in that division. So, I mean, it makes sense, and I'm personally not a big conspiracy guy. I don't know how much I believe. It does make sense. Like you said, it's weird how much the stars align to make every single fight at least somewhat more even. In terms of Diaz-Ferguson, not sure how much more even Holland versus Chimaev was.
Well, I would say it's a tougher fight. Well, if Holland had time to prepare, I would say that's a tougher fight than Diaz 9 times out of 10. But given the short notice of it all, he was expecting to be in a striking match with Daniel Rodriguez.
Yeah, it also it stinks on that the Holland fight, because I don't know if you saw, Holland went, they touched gloves before the fight started, and then when the fight begins, Holland goes up for another glove touch, and Khamzat's already shooting for the legs. So,
Would you label that as a dirty move?
No. I'm not calling it cheap by Chimaev at all, because I mean they already touched gloves.
Hey, they touched gloves, and it's protect yourself at all times.
No, I'm not, like Herb says, I'm not saying it was dirty. It just kind of stinks, because maybe Holland could have postponed the takedown for just a second. It just sucks that he was caught off guard.
But do you think if he would have postponed it,
doesn't change the fight? That doesn't change the outcome of the fight. No, not at all. No. It just stinks to see Holland be on the ground 5 seconds into the fight. But we all knew that was going to happen eventually.
Holland's a very good fighter. Yeah. Wrestling, not his forte. Yeah. He has a black belt. Yeah. So does 95% of the roster says they have a black belt.
That fight was destined to end the way it did regardless.
Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, not much to say about that fight.
Yeah, Kevin Holland, unfortunate, out-wrestled by a much better wrestler.
He put on Instagram, on his Instagram story, retired.
Possibly retired, too.
He's only 30, man. I hope not.
I'm calling his bluff.
But he's only 30, though. It's not like he's taking any bad beating. I mean,
no.
I can't think of a time he got his face, like, rearranged. Like, you know, he lost to Vittori, and Vittori wrestled him. I mean, Khamzat just submitted him. I don't know. I hope he's not done, but you never know.
Anytime any athlete posts something on their Instagram story signaling something about their career, I value it absolutely zero. I don't value that at all. You know, when I see a press release or I see them in the octagon give an interview or something like that, then I'll believe it, you know? On Instagram, for all I know, you know, he was just feeling himself, trying to draw a little of attention, and he just said, I was going to retire.
It's good marketing. That's what if he's not done, good marketing once again.
Good marketing, because guess
half
what?
The game nowadays.
Guess what? We're here talking about him, you know? He did his job.
Yeah. Well, on to the main event. Nate Diaz, Tony Ferguson. I personally was rooting for Diaz because, I mean, who doesn't love Nate Diaz? However, I was sad. I love this fight, but I was sad in a way because somebody had to lose, and I didn't want to see either guy lose.
Mm-hmm.
So Nate Diaz with a fourth round submission via guillotine, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, guillotine? Yeah. Guillotine. Yes, guillotine. I believe a minute into the round with the left in the round. Yeah. In the classic Diaz fashion with the guillotine in one arm and the Diaz flex in the other. Classic Nate.
Classic, iconic way to finish his last fight in the UFC for foreseeably a very long time, but possibly not for the last time ever.
I think that dude could fight till he's 50, if I'm being honest.
I think he can. That guy absorbs punches like a sponge absorbs water.
Yeah.
Diaz boys can fight all day and all night if you ask them to. But nonetheless, with this victory, where do you see Nate Diaz's next fight being?
Well, he did, in the post-fight interview with Joe Rogan, he did say he wants to box now. And he said, I don't want to quote him directly, but he said he wants to show these MMA fighters how to take over another sport because, in his words, the notorious Conor did not do it correctly. Yeah. I hope he fights Jake Paul. I think that'd be interesting. I mean, at this point, I feel weird saying that because everybody says, oh, this guy should fight Jake, but this guy should fight Jake. I mean, I don't know. You could say anybody interesting fighting Jake
Paul. But that's been the fight for
a while. And Jake Paul also has mentioned Nate Diaz's name, so it's not like that's coming out of nowhere. And we know Nate Diaz will fight anybody, anywhere, anytime, whether it's the press conference the octagon or the boxing ring.
I mean, here's a shout, and call me crazy for thinking this, but Nate Diaz did just recently announce the start of his new MMA promotion, Real Fight Inc. And he has, in the past, expressed interest in fighting the heavyweight champion of the world, Francis Ngannou. Now, as crazy as it sounds, Francis is also at the end of this year, his contract is up too. Maybe I'm just living in Wonderland a little bit, but do you see any possibility of there being?
No. I don't want to even say I wish, because I don't know if I want to see that happen in AD. It's just so savage of him, though, because you know he's being serious.
He's being dead serious when
like
he says
it. Anybody else would say that, I would laugh it off. I'm still laughing it off, but like, you know, if Dana White was like, all right, Ngannou, Diaz, now, you know Diaz is not backing down.
Signing the contract. And for reference, Francis Ngannou walks around at 290 pounds, and Nate Diaz has fought the majority of his career at 170. So you can see the discrepancy there. Almost a 12-year-old child's difference in weight between
the two. At least 100 lb. Yeah, at least 100 lb's there.
Yeah, that's about a third-grade Will Melby difference between the two. All of our Munster fans will get that reference.
Yeah. But yes, I mean, I think it was a good card, though, overall. I think the fights evened out. I think it made it a more entertaining card. Happy to see Diaz get himself a win. Khamzat gets the victory as expected. Oh, also the Leech fight. I mean, I personally feel bad for the Leech. He was talking about embedded, got himself a new suit. He was ready to go. That suit was tight. I don't know if you saw it. That was a sick suit.
I was so devastated that he did not get to wear his suit. He went on Helwani the following Monday, I don't know if you saw, with the blazer on and a shirt underneath it that said robbed, which many people would agree that he was robbed. I personally had him winning the fight.
I was going to say, not only did he get robbed of his suit, but the fight itself. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he lost. I'm not quite sure. I mean, I'm not a professional judge, but after the fight happened, I was almost 100% certain in my head that he was going to get his hand raised.
Even Dana White said he was surprised they even said split. When they said split decision, shout out Split Decision Podcast. When they said split decision, he was surprised.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to rewatch that one.
Yeah, we'll take that. We'll
give our take. But the thing is, Daniel Rodriguez also said, I don't know where it was, I think it was just an interview, he said that he was starched after almost every punch. Like, he said he didn't know where he was a couple times.
He was hurt bad.
So I don't know. It's whatever. I feel for the Leech. But overall, good card, I think. Yeah.
And I think the Leech lost no stock in that fight. He gained a fan for me, that's for sure.
I would say the same. I mean, when he fought Khamzat, I didn't really seem to care for him. Now I'm a fan, I will say.
I like the Leech, you know. Yeah. Good guy. Seems like a good guy. Mm-hmm. But that about wraps it up for UFC 279. And our next topic, this weekend's premier fight card, with there being no UFC, Bellator 285, Paul. Benson Henderson defeats Peter Qualley, 5-round unanimous decision. What did you think of that performance?
Classic. I think it's a classic striker versus, you know, just wrestler with, I mean, I'm not saying he's only a wrestler because his striking is there, but, you know. 49-45s across the board from the judges, only because I believe it was the first round. Henderson hit Qualley with a kick below the belt, and he was deducted a point. But I mean, not much to say really. If you watch the fight, you know Benson Henderson still has it, because he's a former
UFC champion,
lightweight champion. Yeah. I believe he beat. Did he not beat Diaz for the belt? Or am I? Let me see. I believe he beat Diaz for the belt. But I know he's a champion, so yeah, it's good to see him still.
Famously got not knocked out, but knocked down by that Anthony Pettis Showtime kick.
Yeah.
Which, as an MMA conspiracist, if you see his right ankle touch the cage.
I also saw that.
Some say that signals Anthony Pettis to go for that Showtime
kick.
Yeah,
it's just hard to believe.
But I doubt it. I doubt that. I'm not being very serious on that one. The other, UFC 279, though, absolutely 100%. I've just convinced myself over the course of these 20 minutes that was completely staged. But that's neither here nor there. We are past that.
Yeah.
But yes.
So not only did we have Henderson versus Qualley, we also had another former UFC superstar, Yoel Romero. Man, that was a versus... what's his name?
Melvin Manhove.
Yeah. I only saw the. I actually did not. I missed the first two rounds because I was busy, and I tuned in at the perfect time to watch Yoel with the some would say gruesome knockout. It was
vicious.
Vicious elbows. And it's crazy that Yoel's doing this, man. He's 45.
That is an old man. Started MMA. I believe he made his UFC debut when he was 36
years
old.
Yes, he did. There was a stat that Aldo's retiring at 36 and Yoel's just, he was just beginning at 36, which is crazy to think about.
Absolutely. Very crazy to think about. And, yeah, I mean, in retrospect, I think if these two men fought in their primes, I would take Yoel Romero 10 times out of 10. And looks seeing like that it. Both men are a little bit over... No, I won't say they're over the hill because... Actually, I definitely won't say Yoel Romero's over the hill because clearly. He started his career late and is continuing. He's only... When you think about it, it's crazy. He's only nine... Really, about a decade into his UFC... Or past his UFC career and his MMA career, you know? Still late. Getting it done at the age of 45.
Very impressive.
But Paul, rather than call out the 205-pound champion, Bellator champion, he said his title aspirations lie at 185. What do you think of that? Do you think that would be a good decision for Yoel Romero to cut down to 185?
I mean, it still baffles me looking at him every time and saying that he is 185 pounds. Mm-hmm. I know that's a lot, but still, I mean, man, you look at his figure and you I mean, if someone told me if I knew nothing about him and someone said he's a heavyweight, I wouldn't even argue. But yeah, he wants to be the champion at middleweight. The current champion is Johnny Eblen. He's undefeated. I can't say I've seen Eblen. I think I can't recall who he fought last, but was it Musasi?
I think it was Musasi.
Okay, yeah, so I mean, he's the real deal. I don't know. I can just say that I will be rooting for Yoel.
I absolutely will. I believe Yoel Romero will go down. If he does not win a title with Bellator, he will go down as one of the greatest uncrowned champions of all time.
I agree.
And I think if he would have started his career even 4 years earlier, I should say, he would have absolutely captured a title in some organization or another. Yeah. But yeah, those were the two big fights coming out of Bellator this weekend. Yoel Romero and Benson Henderson coming out victorious. And some other news from this week, we had a boxing match between Shakur Stevenson and Conceição. I struggle to pronounce his name. I hope I did him justice. He is from Portugal, it appears. So my Portuguese, not that great. But that's neither here nor there. The big controversy behind this fight, though, because I believe everyone saw this fight going the exact same way. Shakur Stevenson, excellent boxer. He was always going to beat him. But the controversy, as I said, Shakur Stevenson could not make weight for the fight, so he vacated all of his 130-pound titles. And it seems his next fight will be at 135 pounds, which is where your Devin Haney's, your Teofimo Lopez's, your Ryan Garcia's, you know, those are the names you're looking at in that category, and I think there are some big fights there for him. And then moving on, Floyd Mayweather defeats Mikiru Asakura by second-round KO in an exhibition. Paul, did you catch that highlight knockout?
I had really no interest in watching the whole fight, but I did see, you know, via social media, I saw him knock him out. Allegedly, I don't know. I think you have...
I don't mean to paint myself out here as some hipster who likes to believe that I know everything that's going on behind the scenes. But Floyd Mayweather, this is his second exhibition against an MMA fighter in Japan. Japan, who was home to Pride Fighting Championship, I believe was the title, Pride back in the day, who was known for putting on fixed fights. This is occurring in relatively the same space. And after watching the knockout, Floyd Mayweather has not been known for being a power puncher throughout the latter part of his career. He's actually broken his hands multiple times, which is why he kind of adapted that fighting style, that defensive fighting style. For him, all of a sudden, after he retires, to become some knockout artist.
Well, the fact that it was in the second round is a little fishy. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Once again, I don't like to say that it was set up, but like the fact that it was an exhibition, correct?
Yes.
So it's, I don't know.
It's questionable to say the least, okay? That's all I'll have to say about it. Floyd Mayweather makes money, And he makes even more money when he's fighting in Japan. They love him out there. And he got called out by Jake Paul. Because Jake Paul likes to call everyone out. Yeah. Is that a fight you'd like to see, PJ?
I mean, it like I said, it's interesting. You know, Jake Paul versus anybody that's got anything to do with fighting is actually appealing to me because, you know, he's been everyone. The main argument against Jake Paul has always been he has yet to fight an actual professional boxer. However, I know Jake, what, Floyd fights at 165?
Yeah, 165.
And Jake's fight against
I believe
Silva's at, what, 187?
Something, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. There's, once again, there's a little heavy. I mean, in terms of boxing skill, we all know who's the more skilled boxer.
Well, who do you think is the more skilled boxer?
Well, I mean, I'm going to go ahead on a limb and say Floyd Mayweather, in my personal opinion.
I would agree with you on that, probably.
But Jake has some size on Floyd. I don't know if I'd like to see that fight, to be honest. Maybe 5 years ago.
I don't want to see that fight at all. No. I already saw him fight Logan, and that was a dud of a fight.
If we want to talk about conspiracies of not being set up, I there's no way Logan Paul, what was it, eight rounds he went?
Eight rounds.
There's no way Logan Paul went eight rounds against
one of the greatest of all time.
Arguably the greatest, one of the greatest of all time, and didn't get knocked out. But, yeah, a sight I don't know. Hold. Mayweather, I don't know. He's just doing his thing. He's making money, which is, you know, I respect.
Money.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever. But, going on to other things. Bo Nickel fights, I believe, tomorrow. Is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yes. Dana White Contender Series.
Bo Nickel versus Donovan Beard. Can't say I know anything about Donovan Beard. I know he is a champion in whatever fight promotion he just fought in. I don't remember the name of it.
Yeah.
But Bo Nickel seems to be becoming a fan favorite. Dana White loves him. They're already talking about putting him in the UFC video game. Did you see that?
Yeah, which is, I think, is absurd because you got guys like The Leech and
I mean, there's many people. Yeah. I can't think of people off the top of my head that aren't in the video game. But
Terrence McKinney.
It's a little insulting.
It is insulting, I believe. And honestly, how much more shelf time is that game going to get? Because I believe they're already developing UFC 6.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, five.
UFC 5. Apologies. Yeah. But Bo Nickel. I mean, I don't know. I believe he is
minus 1800.
Is he? It was 2000 yesterday. Yeah. So he's a heavy favorite.
I think Donovan Beard makes it out the first round?
No, I don't know if he makes it out the first. I honestly give it half a round. I think Bo will have him RNC or guillotine. You know, something like that. I don't really see a whole lot of weight. You know, I mean, I can't say it won't happen because
you never know.
You never know in this sport, which makes it great. But I don't really see a way Bo Nickel doesn't get his hand raised tomorrow night.
Finding out of American Top Team, that I actually did not know. But I can believe it because American Top Team is known for taking a lot of wrestlers and turning them into absolute studs. Your Colby Covingtons, your Robbie Lawlers, your Tyron Woodleys, you know. So, yeah, Bo Nickel, getting it on tomorrow night. It'll probably last in less than 2.5 minutes, so make sure you are there at the start of the opening bell. Another, circling back to Floyd Mayweather, him versus Connor. He says it's happening in 2023. Connor replied saying he is not interested.
Hashtag not interested.
Which side do you believe? You think Floyd Mayweather knows something we don't know? You think Connor's kind of just playing along, or do you really think that this fight's not going to happen?
I think it will happen. I don't know if it's going to happen in 2023 because I don't think Connor's UFC story is. Hopefully, I don't personally believe it's also done yet. I think he's still got. I mean, he just released a video yesterday of him sparring. Mm-hmm. He looks good. I mean, he looks agile. So I don't think his UFC / MMA career is done just yet. But I know I think once Connor has officially hung the gloves up, I do think he'll fight Floyd again. Because why not? I mean, I haven't seen on social media. No one wants to see the fight again. But we all know money Mayweather, and then who's not going to watch Connor? Yeah. He's got a whole country that will be watching him no matter what, no matter how he does. So. Yeah, I don't know about 2023, but I think it'll happen again.
Maybe. How many fights do you think Conor has left in him? Well, in the UFC, I should say.
Man, this is a tough question.
Because I don't see him. I don't see a scenario in which he fights more than twice, maybe three times.
If I had to put a number on it, and I had to guess right now, I think two is the number. But it depends on how it goes, though. That's the thing. Knock on wood. Hopefully, you know, he doesn't get hurt. But say he gets hurt again, or something happens, like I don't see him coming back. But I mean, you know, he gets a nice. I don't know who he's gonna fight. Still, I'm itching.
You
to
think
know.
He walks into a title fight now, or do you think those? Do you think the days no, of Conor McGregor getting to do whatever he wants?
I won't say the days of him doing what he wants are over, because he's gonna bully his way, I think, into fighting who he wants. I mean, everybody wants to fight him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, the thing, it's interesting because next month, if Oliveira wins, you know, Oliveira once again is gonna call out Conor.
Charles DeBron.
Yeah. Charles DeBronx. That's nervous for that fight. But yeah.
Don't get me started on that fight.
Yeah. Conor, I don't know if his title date. I mean, the thing is, if he wins, I think he walks right back into a title shot, no matter who he fights.
No matter who he fights. I would absolutely agree with you.
The thing is, it's weird, though, because what if he fights at 170 and then he wants to call. Then Oliveira calls him out at 155. I don't know how that works.
But
you know him. He'll find a way to get him. I think. He'll find himself a way to get a title shot, assuming he wins his next fight versus whoever it is, whenever it is. I hope it's soon. But
I hope it's an absolute softball and that he can knock out the park. I hope they don't give him Justin Gaethje. I will say, Conor McGregor, great striker. Justin McGaethje's going to want to strike with him. I don't want to see, personally, Conor McGregor get knocked out. Do I think
Justin Gaethje would go, though? I don't know.
I would have to wait to see until it gets closer.
I think the thing that worries me is Gaethje's leg kicks would destroy Conor. But on the feet, I don't know. You watch Gaethje on the feet versus Oliveira.
Oh, he looks sloppy.
Very sloppy, like swinging and wailing everywhere. I'm not hating on Gaethje striking, because he's one of the best strikers in the lightweight division.
Mm-hmm.
However, Conor is, I don't know. It's just weird because, like, Conor, for those 2 minutes that the third fight against Poirier were on
he
the feet,
good.
He was ahead of Dustin. He wasn't.
In that second fight, he won the first round.
Oh, on stand up, I mean, you take away the leg kicks, you can't. I mean, not saying that you can disregard them, because that's clearly a way of victory. Yeah. But like, in terms of just the boxing and like all that pure striking, I mean, Conor was ahead, and thing led to thing, which is like, I feel like it could be a very similar situation versus Gaethje. The leg kicks might eventually wear him down. But
remember, he has that titanium shin bone.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know how to judge Conor, because, like, as a fan, I always want to be unbiased when I make predictions and when I say things. I don't know what Conor's going to come back. Like, I mean, we saw the video of him sparring. He looks elusive. He looks agile. But we'll never know until he gets in the cage. An injury like that affects any athlete.
Any athlete, yeah. Absolutely. But
yeah.
I personally don't know if he could even make 155 at this point. He is off filming a movie with Jake Gyllenhaal right now, getting his acting lessons in. And it seems he's walking around 185-ish. He looks a little leaner than he did this time a few months ago. He was looking like a big boy not too long ago.
Yeah.
But he's looking a little more leaner, so I think he'd definitely make 170 within the next couple months. But I would say if you want him to fight at 155, you'd be looking at a fight.
I mean, he's never, ever even come close to missing weight.
No.
So I think he would, if he had to do
If he had to, he absolutely would.
Thing is, if he gets a lightweight fight announced, I think it's going to be way in advance, because he's going to need time to start cutting. But yeah. Yeah, we can talk about Conor for the next 7 days straight if you wanted to. So
big time Conor fans.
Oh, UFC 282 fight just got announced. Joaquin Buckley, who is notoriously known for that nasty
spinning heel kick,
but while in the air, he wasn't even touching the ground, versus Impa. I don't want to butcher his last name. But
you've definitely seen this kick, ladies and gentlemen.
Everybody's seen this kick, versus Chris Curtis. That should be an entertaining fight. Chris Curtis just lost to Hermanson?
Jack Hermanson in UFC London.
Yeah. I think that's going to be an action-packed fight. Two good personalities, busy style fighters. They're both active, and neither one of them have a dull fight.
Well, that was until Chris Curtis's last fight, I will say. I will say that was a short notice fight. He took that on Darren Till's behalf. Darren Till, Please, please, buddy. Please just make it to a fight. Yeah. You know, I'm begging you. I'm a big time fan. I believe in the gorilla anytime, any place, anywhere. You know, but you gotta stop pulling out. But either way, Chris Curtis fills in for Darren Till against Jack Hermanson, puts on a dud of a co-main event.
Yeah, he didn't throw anything at all, and like he was like. At the end of the fight, I believe, did we watch that together? We were on the
plane to Cancun.
That's right. We were on the plane to Cancun. Yeah, and his output was little to none. And he was also, like, yelling at Hermanson that he wasn't doing anything.
But it's his job as the betting underdog. I feel like it is always partially your responsibility to press the action to make something happen. Otherwise, you're just allowing the judges to score it for your opponent. But that's neither here nor there because Chris Curtis, at the end of the day, I do think is an exciting fighter. And I think that Joaquin Buckley is going to bring the fight to him. And
yeah. I don't know if I have a prediction yet. I don't know how I feel. I want to say Buckley because I feel like Buckley, once again, I could see Buckley just being, you know, establishing more output than Curtis will. But I don't know. That fight's a long way away. UFC 282. Hopefully, that I think right now the only one they got, I don't know if it's confirmed, but they're doing Glover versus Jiří 2. That's in Vegas.
That's a heartbreaker December of a fight for me. The first one.
I know. Yeah, that's tough. That was tough.
I didn't just have Glover winning that fight. The judges had Glover winning that fight as well. Had he survived 30 more seconds, and as irony and fate would have it, got choked out.
Choked out. Who by would Jiří, have thought? I don't even know if he has a submission in the UFC.
I don't. Not in the UFC, certainly not. But maybe somewhere in the past but he secured one.
Yeah, I know he has. I think his finish rate is above 95%. So I'm not surprised he got the finish. It's just the way he did it and when he did it. Yeah, but Glover Teixeira is what? 40? He's low 40s, right? 42 maybe?
I want to say 43. 42,
42, 43. The fact that, I mean, he was taking some heavy, heavy blow, elbows, knees.
Right to the dome.
And he's 42 years of age.
Yeah, 42.
42? Yeah. But that should be an interesting fight. And they're, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen now, but they were saying that was going to be John Jones' comeback fight. And, man, that would be, I'm actually going to be in Vegas on that day, December 10th, watching our Hoosiers play basketball. But if John Jones fights on that card, I think I'm going to do everything in my power to attend that that event.
Well, some of us are underage, Paul, so a trip to Vegas is not in the near future for me. So you have fun with that. I'll be at home watching, illegally streaming it on my Xbox.
So moving on to one of our more favorite fighters, Mackenzie Dern versus Jan. Not going to pronounce the last name. I want to butcher it.
It's very hard last name
to
pronounce.
That is coming up October 1st, I believe, in a fight night.
Yes. That is this weekend. Mackenzie Dern, I cannot say her name without growing a large smile across my face.
Yeah, one would argue the one of the more attractive UFC fighters.
I would say the most attractive UFC fighter.
I'm not going to disagree with you on that.
She is just an absolute stud. But stud of a looker and a fighter for sure.
All right, but as good looking as she may be, she is a phenomenal mixed martial artist as well. We can't forget about that.
Well, that is the that's what we're doing here. It's mixed martial arts. But, so looks aside, who do you see? Who do you see winning this fight?
I mean, the thing is, they have both lost to Marina Rodriguez, who is very, very good. So it's hard to judge. They both went to a decision and lost. So I think it's going to be a good fight. The thing is, Mackenzie's known for wrestling. I don't think she has a single knockout in her entire mixed martial arts career. But Jan, however, does not have a single submission win in her UFC career. So it's like a battle of...
It's your classic jiu-jitsu versus striker.
Yeah.
And I would say 9 times out of 10, we know how that fight's going
to
go.
It's very similar to... I think it's honestly very, very similar. Well, not... I mean, I don't want to say that, actually. But yeah, I would say it reminds me a little bit of Gaethje versus Oliveira, although Oliveira's striking is elite. I wouldn't say... I'm not saying Mackenzie's isn't good, but it's definitely not elite.
I will say she looked very good in her last fight on the feet. She won that fight mostly standing up against Tisha Torres, who's known for her striking, but she was able to more than handle herself on the feet against Tisha Torres. So I don't see a scenario in which she couldn't handle herself against Jan.
I will be rooting for Dern, I can say. They're ranked number Dern is number 5, Jan is number 6. I don't know. They have 4, 5, I guess you could say, of the, you know, of the best women's fighters in the world in front of them, that being Jessica Andrade, Marina Rodriguez, who they both lost to. You could argue, I don't think Marina she might have a fight announced, I'm not going to lie. I'm not sure.
I have no idea.
And then I know Zhang fighting Esparza.
Marina Rodriguez is scheduled for a November 5th bout against Amanda Lemos, which I think will be very good. Amanda Lemos.
Okay, she's ranked number 8. Yeah, so that should be an interesting fight. But maybe, well, I think if Marina Rodriguez wins that one, she's arguably got a title.
She is on a run. But you could argue it's not 3 decisions in her last 3 fights.
Yeah.
I think if Mackenzie Dern wins big this weekend, you know, really makes a statement against Jan, I think she can get that title shot. I mean, granted, it would only be she'd only be coming off back-to-back wins, but, you know, all Weili Zhang had to do to earn herself a shot at the title was to, you know, have a highlight knockout versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
I don't see a way that Esparza beats Weili, to be honest with you. I think Weili's going to make the... I don't know when that fight... I think she's going to finish her within inside 3 rounds, personally. I think Weili's the best women's fighter in the division.
You think she has an argument to be the best? If she wins, that would make her, what, a 2-time champ?
2 times.
You think that would she can make a case for being the best women's fighter in MMA?
She makes a case, although Shevchenko and Nunes are still...
very much active.
Still active. Although, one may argue, Valentina did lose her last fight.
I am one of those people.
Unfortunately, no hate on Valentina. I also believe she lost, and I think it sucks in those fights because you see it so many times. Like, for example, like Izzy versus Whitaker, like the 48-47s of a champion going the champion's way, and you feel like part of that is there's just a little bias towards the champ, and you feel like the underdog has to do
more,
something spectacular, like a Leon Edwards knockout to win the fight.
Well, that's about as decisive as it gets.
Well, yeah.
But you know that classic term, you got to beat the champ to be the champ. To beat the champ? I don't know. You know, it's something along those lines. You got to take it to the champ. If you find yourself in a title fight, leave it all out there, you know. You already worked your way to this fight. You know, this is what your dreams and aspirations are made of. You know, I would have liked to see in that fight versus Valentina Shevchenko, I would have liked to see, ¿cómo se llama? Who'd she fight again?
Talia Santos.
I would have liked to see Santos do a little bit more when she got Shevchenko into those positions on the ground.
Yeah.
So much to her discredit, the judges saw it the other way.
But hopefully... Mackenzie Dern will be victorious, and we can continue to watch her fight.
I hope so. Moving on, just a quick little rundown. We also have some Bellator fights coming up this weekend. Pitbull versus Borix, AJ McKee versus Spark Carlisle. PJ, tell me why Pitbull's going to win.
Why? Oh, man. I mean, I don't know if I'll ever see... anybody. I don't know if I'll ever make a prediction of Pitbull losing a fight. I don't know. He's vicious. He's vicious. That's a word. I like that word. Yeah, and he just beat AJ. Was that his last fight against AJ McKee?
Yeah, AJ McKee.
But McKee is fighting at lightweight, though, now, isn't he? I believe his fight against Spike is at 55, if I am correct. But yeah, I don't know.
That is a lightweight.
I think Pitbull gets a late finish. I don't know if I see him starching him early. I mean, I'm not saying I don't because, you know, it is Pitbull. But I think fourth, fifth rounds, he'll wear and tear Borix down. I could see a late finish from Pitbull.
Absolutely. Yeah. Adam Borix just found this out. He's fighting out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Really?
You don't think that any of that Fort Lottie lifestyle is going to help him out in this fight? Like, come on now.
No, I mean, I'm not discrediting Borix by any means. I think I have. Who did he fight last? Because.
No idea.
But
his nickname is The Kid, and that is enough to disqualify him from. Taking my pick for the winner of this match, I hate that nickname, Adam the Borix Kid, or Adam the Kid Borix. What a dud. Not a nickname I would choose.
Yeah.
As for AJ McKee,
I like him a lot.
He's entertaining. Bit of a talker. That kind of rubs me the wrong way every now and then.
His first ever
but
loss.
AJ, the mercenary McKee.
That's a
nickname. 10 out of 10 nickname.
Yeah.
Well, but Spark Carlisle, obviously Ginger, if you guys care to look him up. His nickname, Spike the Alpha Ginger Carlisle.
That's
heck of a name as well.
I don't know. The fact that AJ McKee already beat Pitbull once, he lost the rematch, but he didn't get finished by Pitbull. He finished Pitbull in their first fight.
Mm-hmm.
I think AJ, and I hope AJ McKee comes out victorious in that fight.
18-1 AJ McKee versus the 14-3 Spark Carlisle going on this Saturday in Bellator. All right, folks. Well, that about wraps it up for episode one of the Split Decision podcast. I would like to once again give a shout out to the man behind the audio and video, Andrew Briggs.
Thank you very much.
And IUS TV for giving us the platform and opportunity to do this. We will be back later this week, hopefully, with another podcast regarding all things MMA.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram at, what is it again?
At The Split Decision Pod.
And we'll hopefully make other, hopefully we'll be on all social media platforms at some point. Hopefully we'll do TikTok for sure. We'll hopefully get on Twitter. Yeah. Twitter's my favorite. So hopefully we'll be on there. But thank you for tuning in. And we'll see you next Monday.
Bye-bye, folks. See you at the top.
See you at the top.